We start with Latin America. Again, whole subcontinent. Federico Heinz is the co-founder of the Via Libre Foundation and an FSF speaker. Please welcome Federico Heinz.
Thank you. Well, I'm in talking about Latin America, I get to do one of my favorite things, referred to free software as software libre, which is the Spanish, or depending on how you, which B you use, whether the large or the short B is a Spanish or Portuguese version of free software, which makes special emphasis on freedom and not on price, which is kind of nice. First, I would like to talk a bit about what the situation is. How is Latin America? Because just as I have very weird ideas of how things can be in China or in Africa or even in Europe, I guess it's kind of hard to figure, to imagine how things are somewhere else. Latin America is a huge continent, and it has a very low population density. Brazil, for instance, is an enormous country. It's almost as large as Europe, but it's only populated in the coast. There's almost nothing inside the country. Argentina has about 35 million, and they concentrate about one-third of the population of the whole continent. In Argentina, we have 35 million people, and half of them, roughly, live in one city. And that kind of thing. So we are very sparsely populated. And we are mainly a farmland. We produce commodities. We produce soybean. We produce meat. We produce raw materials, which are whose price in the international markets are rather low and are completely out of our control. We have some industrial development, but not much. A lot of the industrial development we had achieved over the 60s, 70s started going lost in the 80s and went completely gone, went completely during the 90s. So there is not much that we do in terms of producing industrial goods. We are now burdened by ludicrously high foreign debt. We have debts that go into the hundreds of billions of dollars, and I don't really think there is as much money in the world as we actually owe. So I don't know how anybody can actually expect us to pay for that, but somehow it is like that. When I'm talking about Latin America, there is something that has to be understood, and it is that we are talking about a very stratified society. There is there's a rather thin middle class, there's an even thinner higher class, and there's a very broad low class. And this middle class is kind of going into extinction, and this thinner class, the upper class, is getting ever thinner. So when we're talking about what is going on with free software, we must keep in mind this is actually what is happening in this middle class to upper class area, and there are people there who are thinking on how to include this lower class, this broad lower class, but it's actually coming from there and not from the lower class. It's not nice. Yeah, we have one advantage in that in our whole subcontinent, we have practically no language-related problems. I mean, we have two languages, which are Spanish and Portuguese. Well, there are some French speakers somewhere, but nobody can find them. And the difference between the two languages, most of the time, are okay. We write libre with a long B, and they do it with a short one or something like that. But we can touch, we can speak to each other in our native languages, and we understand each other. We do have trouble communicating in terms of technology. The penetration of information communication technology is rather low. This is due to this stratification, due to our debt, due to the fact that we have a negative trade balance most of the time. And so we cannot quite afford this. There has been some penetration of ICTs, but it's not as pervasive as it is in the industrialized world. And it's not just that it's low penetration in terms of quantity. I mean, okay, there are cell phones all over the place and things like that, but there are very few innovative uses of technology. Most of the technology we're using are used to replace work that we did on a typewriter yesterday, we do on a computer today. But we don't do anything new with this. And that is actually very, very sad. And it has to do with the fact that during the last 10 years or so, in most of Latin America, there has been a lot of investment into technology, but most of this investment has been into equipment and not into training and services. This is going, this is following this theory that says, okay, I have here a computer that can solve 50% of my problem, so I'll buy two. And that doesn't work. This equipment that has been bought is getting old fast, as hardware tends to, and there is very little new investment in equipment and stuff like that due to the fact that most of the countries in the area have devalued their currencies, and so hardware is completely out of the reach of most people and things like that. And one thing that is a large obstacle to the development of ICTs, and particularly for free software, is this connectivity is still quite expensive. A DSL line costs, well, maybe it's not really expensive for here, I don't know, you should tell me, but a 128 kilobit DSL line costs around $35. Which is probably cheap for African standards, but in our country is about 25% of the average salary. So that's not really something anybody can afford, and it's fragile. I was recently talking to a friend of mine who is in charge of the network access point where most of Latin America's connectivity goes through, and he tells me that save for some parts of Brazil, all of Latin America's internet connectivity goes through, count them, one router. So if ever our nice neighbors in the north decide that they actually don't need Latin America anymore, it's just the flip of a switch, which is kind of distressing. The community in Latin America is strong and varied. We have it started quite a long time ago, mainly around universities and stuff like that. It started to coagulate a group of technical communities, which do actually most of the work of spreading the word, doing support, helping people. Many user groups do demo days, which will be fairs in which people will come with their computers and show what things they do with them. We do install fests in which we help people install GNU Linux on their computers and all that, other kind of things. There have been, in many countries, attempts to create federations of user groups. And it's quite interesting to see how it has failed every time. It's extremely strange how you have these people who can cooperate globally, on a global scale, with lots of people, and who can create local groups that are tightly knit and work together, but can't somehow create a national level organization that works as an umbrella for them. Maybe this is a reflection on on how states are becoming obsolete, or how national borders are becoming extremely blurred, or something like that. People feel more close to their technical community than to the national community, or something like that. I can't really tell what it is. You can see this, you can see this at work. These national communities have so far never flown. One interesting community is Debian Rio Grande do Sul. That's a group of Brazilian, actually from a very small area in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. There are so many Debian hackers there that they have achieved a sub-community of their own, which has its own identity, and that's very interesting to see happening. There are also non-technical communities. I call them like this because they don't exactly come from the technical technical corner. One example of these are the Proyectos Software Libres. Software Libre projects that are in that are growing in Brazil and that are gaining a lot of significance there. Those are organizations created by people mostly in order to give the government a unified face with which they can talk, which seems to be pretty useful. Governments seem to be kind of scared of talking to a community, and they don't know where this community can go next. They want to have someone who seemingly is in charge. Problem is, these things, these people are not necessarily in charge because legitimacy for these kind of things are very hard. It's very hard to achieve, and you have that in these projects. Achieve notoriety because they are close to the political world and that kind of thing, but often they don't have the support of the traditional free software community, from the traditional free software community members. Some of them are there, some of them are not, and it's very, very complicated. It's even a good question to ask whether this kind of representativity is good to have or not, because the fact that we are this amorphous mass of people is actually one of our strengths. There's no single point of failure where they can aim and shoot us. We just keep on coming. When there is one single point of representativity, things are a bit more difficult. But these communities are being formed, and it will be nice to see what happens with them. And then there are civil society organizations that are doing things. Well, UNESCO is one of them. It's not really civil society. It's one of these UN things. But UNESCO in Latin America is pushing for free software quite heartily, and they organized last year the Latin American and the Caribbean Free Software Conference in Peru, which was a very nice event. Of course, at the same time, UNESCO in the Caribbean is signing agreements with Microsoft and stuff. I have to hurry up, sorry. We, from Via Libre, we approach this thing from the area of sustainable development. What's going on with Software Libre in several areas? In businesses, it's large companies that go the Software Libre way. practically, mainly because those are the ones that are targeted by the BSA and those kind of things. In Argentina, and actually I think in most of the poor world, free software is not competing with proprietary software, but with unlicensed software. So for most people, the cost issue is no issue. And so it's the large organizations that are going to software libre as far as they can. But what is interesting is that their interest is seems to be genuine. Some of them are even giving back to the community. Software they develop in-house, they are actually releasing. Complete projects they are doing to support their own infrastructure and business, they're giving back to the community. And I'm talking about a natural gas distributor, not a software house. And that's a really interesting thing. 2 weeks ago, there was a free software event in Buenos Aires, which is, as far as I know, the first free software event in Latin America that was hosted by people from outside the community, by a user group created so many years ago that way back then, being a computer user was something particular. So the members are large companies, and these large companies did a free software event which attracted some 1,200 people and was very, very interesting. In government, well, we have Brazil, who has made a large commitment to free, to software libre in the context of their Zero Hunger program. And mainly, by many people, we're gaining slowly consensus that software libre is the way we can develop our own technology. We are not subject to the whims of the marketing department of some company in a country that is completely different from us and suddenly decides we all need a media player on our computers, regardless of whether we even have a sound card or not. Public administration, for instance, in Argentina, has recently made the big step and has stopped requiring Microsoft Windows with every computer. I mean, there's this huge outcry when we say the public administration should use only free software. But there are regulations in place right now that require Microsoft Windows on every computer. And nobody says anything. It's kind of weird. In any case, software libre is being used on many government organizations. The Argentine Revenue Service, for instance, uses JBoss. All of its functionality is based on JBoss. However, and they use OpenOffice as their internal office suite. However, when they communicate with the public, they give it in Word, give it out in Word format. Require Word format when you are going to write to them. They don't accept HTML or anything else, which is. In education, most good computer faculties, computer science faculties use exclusively free software in their classes, which really makes sense. However, computer related. Faculties such as system analysis or something like that, they don't necessarily do this. And and of course, when we're talking about other disciplines like economy, like non-hard disciplines, you know, philosophy or sociology or other kind of things, they are not even aware of this. It's strange that economy faculties will not look into this because it's fascinating as an economic phenomenon. The schools are training monkeys, unfortunately, most of them. They tackle education as, well, let's show the kids how to use the computer. It's kind of strange. Kids usually teach them how to do that. There are, however, a few efforts to use free software in schools. Some of them have failed, some of them have had partial success, Mexico was doing this Mexico Libre, or I don't know how it was called. They wanted to use free software in all schools, and they failed catastrophically because they tackled this from a cost of ownership thing. And they said, hey, this is free software. What we'll do is we'll strike the whole budget for information technology from the schools. We will burn a few CDs. We will drop them out of planes, and everything is solved. It didn't work. Surprise. Brazil has had some success with using free software in schools, and there's a very nice experiment going on in Argentina, Project GL Educar, which is run actually by teachers who are actually looking to ways of using technology to teach their signatures and not to teach them how to use a word processor or something like that. And that's an interesting thing to watch what was going to have there. Via Libre's role in all this thing, we are a small organization. We see ourselves as trying to help society build a digital age in which is inclusive, which is in which solidarity, freedom, equality is not are not forgotten as values, and we. Our main goal at this moment, our main task at this moment, is to raise awareness of all these things, which is quite hard when you have a society in which a lot of people are not even aware they are computer users because they don't touch physically a computer, but they are without the knowledge. And so we do a lot of explaining, and we go to universities, and we talk to lots of people, and we write articles, and we try to create ideas and create a framework of why it is important to have freedom in your infrastructure. Basically, we try from the sustainable development perspective to get this message through first, which is we are not going anywhere in the digital age with proprietary software. If we try to go that route, we will find ourselves out of money and chained forever as captive consumers. If we want to be full citizens of the digital age, free software is our choice. Well, thank you very much.